Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are in class with Hosea, Lessons of Amazing Love. In this session, we'll be looking at Hosea chapter 8, verse 1, to chapter 10, verse 15. God's punishment in love. Last time we read the story of Hosea and Gomer, which illustrates God's own experience with Israel. In our quick look at chapters 1 through 3, we saw that rejection of Israel is symbolized in the children's names, not mine, and no mercy. And yet restoration is foretold. Unfaithfulness is depicted as a wife guilty of prostitution, and yet restoration is described by her being cured of her idolatry. A harlot taken back as a faithful wife. Chapters 4 through 7 present an indictment of charges against Israel. Sin charges they seem to repent of, but God doesn't believe them. The theme for this book is usually God's redeeming love. But the love of God does not preclude punishment if it's deemed necessary by God. How will punishment be carried out for Israel? Well, it'll be the Assyrian invasion. That's what this session focuses on. These next three chapters, chapters 8 through 10, proclaim a powerful warning of the punishment God will give to Israel. So intense that each chapter repeats the warning. Judgment is coming. Chapter 8, verses 1 through 14, because they transgressed the covenant. Chapter 8, verses 1 through 6, they set up kings without consulting God and made idols in violation of the second commandment. Look at verses 4 through 6 of chapter 8. They set up kings, but not by me. They made princes, but I did not acknowledge them. From their silver and gold they made idols for themselves, that they might be cut off. Your calf is rejected, O Samaria. My anger is aroused against them. How long until they attain to innocence? For from Israel is even this. A workman made it, and it is not God. But the calf of Samaria shall be broken to pieces. They have sown the wind through their alliances with Assyria and shall reap the whirlwind. Chapter 8, verses 7 to 10. Verse 7, the first part of it. They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. Their religion made them sin, and punishment will be a return to Egypt. Egypt is a symbol of captivity. Look at chapter 8, verses 11 to 13. Because Ephraim has become many altars for sin, they have become for him altars for sinning. I have written for him the great things of my law, but they were considered a strange thing. For the sacrifices of my offerings, they sacrifice flesh and eat it, but the Lord does not accept them. Now he will remember their iniquity and punish their sins. They shall return to Egypt. And then they've forgotten their maker, leading Judah to trust in fortified cities. Chapter 8, verse 14. For Israel has forgotten his maker and has built temples. Judah also multiplied fortified cities, but I will send fire upon his cities, and it shall devour his palaces. What a sad commentary on Israel's condition. God has given them His word, but they became so perverted that God's word seemed strange to them. This is true today. We've been blessed with the full revelation of Jesus Christ, and yet many are unaware of what the Bible says, caught up in the thinking of the world, so that the principles and truths of God's word are considered a strange thing. Chapter 9 can be summed up this way. Captivity is coming in Assyria. That's important. Egypt was used as a type for captivity, but Assyria is mentioned by name in Hosea chapter 9, verses 1 to 17. They played the harlot, so they will not celebrate the feasts and will be punished for their sins. Their glory will fly away, and God will cast them away. Captivity for sin is coming. Hosea chapter 10, verses 1 to 15, repeated a third time. Each chapter repeats the punishment. No doubt about Israel's sin and coming punishment, her guilt and coming captivity. Look at the passage. Hosea chapter 10, verse 1. Israel empties his vine. He brings forth fruit for himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he has increased the altars. According to the bounty of his land, they have embellished his sacred pillars. Their heart is divided. Now they are held guilty. He will break down their altars. He will ruin their sacred pillars. For now they say, we have no king, because we did not fear the Lord. And as for a king, what would he do for us? They have spoken words, swearing falsely and making a covenant. Their judgment springs up like hemlock in the furrows of the field. The inhabitants of Samaria fear because of the calf of Beth-Aven, for its people mourn for it, and its priests shriek for it, because its glory has departed from it. The idol also shall be carried to Assyria as a present for King Jareb. Ephraim shall receive shame, and Israel shall be ashamed of its own counsel. As for Samaria, her king is cut off like a twig on the water. Also, the high places of Avon, the sin of Israel, shall be destroyed. The thorn and thistle shall grow on their altars. They shall say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. O Israel, you have sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood. The battle in Gibeah against the children of iniquity did not overtake them. When it is my desire, I will chasten them. People shall be gathered against them when I bind them for their two transgressions. Ephraim is a trained heifer that loves the fresh grain. But I harnessed her fair neck. I will make Ephraim pull a plow. Judah shall plow. Jacob shall break his clods. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness on you. You have plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you trusted in your own way, in the multitude of your mighty men. Therefore, tumult shall arise among your people, and all your fortresses shall be plundered as Shalman plundered Beth Arbel in the day of battle, a mother dashed in pieces upon her children. Thus it shall be done to you, O Bethel, because of your great wickedness. As at dawn the king of Israel shall be cut off utterly. Focus in on verse 12, because it's the key. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. While we cannot earn our salvation by good works, works of righteousness can result in experiencing God's grace and mercy. Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. Cornelius' fear of God, his prayers, his alms, they didn't save him. But God noticed, and by striving to serve and please God, he was shown the pathway to salvation. Now back to Hosea chapter 10. The problem is verse 13. Instead of seeking the Lord, you have plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies. Because you trusted in your own way, in the multitude of your mighty men. When people turn away from hearing God's word, they will be wicked. And the consequence is injustice and lawlessness. You see, sadly, we can see why our society is reaping so much injustice and lawlessness today. People have turned from God's word, and wickedness has been sown. Also, sadly, this session doesn't end on a good note. But the prophet doesn't finish here. He had hope, a proclamation concerning restoration. That's next time. Let me give you a closing thought. Paul wrote to Corinth, and after reviewing parts of Israel's history, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6, Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. God's intent is that we benefit from Israel's mistakes. And the words of prophets like Hosea can certainly help. Will his words be well known to us, or will they, to us, be considered a strange thing? You think about that, and you have a great day.